Boom. This is Howie Mandel Does Stuff. This is Howie Mandel.
And I'm Jacqueline Schultz, his daughter.
And what a great day. We have a great guest. Tim Heidecker. You know, from Tim and Eric. Tim and Eric did some of my favorite. You can come in. Tim, I saw you look in, and then I'm just talking about you, and then you didn't.
Mess.
Oh, and these guys are your, who are you with, Tim?
Well, hey, this is DJ Doug Pound to my right.
And DJ
Doug Pound, Doug Lusenhop.
Okay, Doug Pound.
Doug Pound.
Right. Okay.
And then Vic Berger the Fourth.
Hello.
Dick Berger the Fourth.
Vic. No. Vic.
Oh, you can call me Dick if you have to. Yeah.
Vic the Fourth.
Yeah, Vic the Fourth. I'm the.
You're the third person that he's in. Out of the three of you, you're the fourth.
I'm the fourth. I count as both.
I guess. And I should mention that we are actually starting this podcast 5 minutes later than we usually do.
Who was on time? Who? I'm not talking to you.
I was on time.
I was on time.
I was on time.
I was on time, more or less. I was 10 minutes early. That's not on time. That's early. Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing. So these, your crew.
Do you have a microphone?
I'm just going to smile and say.
You could talk, just talk loud. Just don't move it. You don't move it. Okay. Don't move it. We'll bring in a mic.
Caroline is coming in with a mic.
Caroline will give you a lav.
Oh, I want one of those.
Oh, look at that. That's
special.
So, Tim, first of all, we were so excited to have you here. We didn't know the other guys. I'm excited. And I'm excited to find out who these other two guys are.
Yeah, I was the one who was booked originally, by the way.
All right.
Were you?
Yes.
And I was the late one. I showed up late. I made the
Caroline, you booked him? Yeah.
Yes. She's saying yes.
Okay. But and then brought Tim?
I'm the guest.
I should kind of be there, but I'll let you.
He's upset because he's not on. Well, you are.
No,
you're a
special.
Mic.
You're wearing your own mic. You're in the middle. You have the special spot.
Oh, I thought it was like the closer one, kind of Johnny Carson style. They brought it to a screeching halt.
Well, I'm a huge and have been for a long time Tim and Eric fan.
Thank you.
I am. And I'm also a little perturbed because for the longest time, you use a lot of people.
Worked
with? Collaborated?
That's a kind of word. Use a lot of people.
That I
think
like.
I know what
collaborate.
Saying,
yeah. And we've never worked together. No. Is that what you're getting at?
Do you not like him?
I respect him.
Yeah.
But you don't like me. And you didn't want to work with him.
No, it is weird. There are people I would think, I've thought about this, who we love and then don't end up using for various.
Using?
See, now you got it in my head. But one good example, the great Jack Black.
Right.
Never could figure out a way. Well, I love him and think he's extremely talented.
What?
Bear Traps.
He was in like the first thing we ever did.
So but that doesn't. The fact you're not that here you're
to.
Saying,
you're not here to contradict me.
He was the one I booked.
You're not fact checking.
He's the one. He's the one we booked, and that's why we booked him, because he knows.
Sir, first of all, Eric and I weren't when we found when you reached out to us. I forget what the context was.
But I was trying to work with you.
Yeah, yeah. We were just kind of not very active at the time doing stuff. If we knew this when we were making Awesome Show. You would have been in like all that.
I watched every Awesome Show. The thing, and you look different now. People are listening to this, but you lost a lot of weight.
I lost 250 pounds.
Wow.
Oh, you did.
Yeah, I was like,
I love it.
It's an absurd number.
No, but you could have, right? You could lose 10 pounds.
You could do anything.
Because you put 10 pounds on. You take 10 pounds off, then you put back 5, then you lose another 10 pounds, and you gain 7 again. But you're not. You don't add up whatever
I'll put it to you this way. If I lost 250 pounds,
you wouldn't be here.
Minus 50 pounds.
Wow. I love that you see that this is not just a podcast. People have to do math and to figure out what the jokes are.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I love that. But you look good.
Well, thank you.
What's the biggest you're ever up to, Tim?
What's that?
What's the biggest you're ever up to, weight-wise?
What's the biggest I was ever up to?
Highest number.
I mean,
we waited
like
20 minutes for you guys to find the fucking building. That's the biggest weight.
Let me just say, you know, like when I knew I had to go to the dentist, it was 2:30. In my weight. Are you a wordplay guy? Are you like a pun guy?
I love puns.
Yeah.
I'm like the worst guy jokes.
Doug is the best. Doug, Vic is
along.
Not so
I'm
much.
Along for the ride.
So can I explain who these guys?
Please explain. I don't really know. But
your guys,
booked.
your the people around here are wearing T-shirts with my face on it. Will know.
Well, first of
they
all,
they should be doing a better job of educating you.
Well, the point is that I didn't even know. I was excited that you were here, and then the staff and other people who aren't even staff. We don't usually do our podcast in front of a live audience. Are wearing Tim Heidecker hats,
apparel.
Apparel. Wow. That's guests don't usually come on and sell merch.
I didn't bring any merch to sell.
Well, apparently you're sold out because they're all wearing it here.
Well, let me briefly explain who's sitting next to me.
Okay.
Doug Lusenhop, DJ Doug Pound, Doug Lusenhop. One of the reasons you love our work so much is this guy, because he's the editor and writes a lot of stuff. So all the editing, all the crazy psychedelic crazy editing, starts with him.
Right, Doug should be at the end of the.
Then that's amazing.
That's thanks, why Dan. You booked him. So he's a big part of that.
I love your
of
stuff.
Course,
without knowing behind the scenes,
of course, behind the
with and off the mic supervision, I should say,
with mild notes, which I take or I don't.
And Vic. Is a little bit newer to the scene, but people will have seen his videos online. He's made tons of the Jim Baker edits of the buckets where Jim Baker. Remember Jim Baker? I don't know. What would
let's
you
play it. What is it under?
It's Vic Burger.
Yeah.
Okay, put up a Vic Burger video.
You'll immediately
Vic
realize.
Or on Vice News, too, you could put in filling the
V-I-C
the
Burger. Yeah. And then, but to
You're
wrap this
us how
up,
to spell
just
Vic?
To wrap this up, because I do have to go, the two of us, the three of us do a similar sort of podcast every Thursday live. This isn't live, but we do it every Thursday called Office Hours Live.
So which one of these guys plays your daughter?
My daughter comes on the show occasionally.
This is my daughter.
Yes, we were introduced. What's your name?
Jacqueline. Yes.
My daughter Amelia is 8.
Okay.
So she sometimes comes on as well.
But, really?
Yeah.
And so what let's just, well, I want to watch this.
Oh, this is
this country.
This is not the best reference.
Okay, so
but it's only 20 seconds, so maybe it is.
Yeah, maybe it is. Yeah.
You don't want us to play
it's
this?
Fine. It's fine. Okay.
It's great without sound, too.
Did you catch a game last night? Is it still hot out there? Do you like hot fudge sundaes? All right.
So Vic basically,
it's hard to explain.
Vic is re-edits.
Hard to explain.
He takes footage and re-edits it into a new work of art.
Right, I take a lot of
footage. Watch is Donald Trump the least racist person you've ever met? That's maybe a good one.
There's probably, I don't know.
Oh, we're getting political.
Well, I hope everybody will join me.
There's an ad.
They give you an ad for him on these.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
You guys got to start paying for YouTube.
The African American over here. Look at him. You know what I'm talking about?
I am the least racist person you have ever interviewed. That I can tell you.
I am the least racist person that you have ever met. I am the least racist person.
You've been labeled a racist.
How
do you respond to that?
I am the least racist person you've ever met.
Are you racist? I just want to ask you.
I am not. I don't have a racist bone in my body. I have not got a racist bone in my body, and I think you know that too.
No, I'm not a racist.
Blacks for Trump. I like those signs. Blacks for Trump.
We did not want the King holiday just to be a day of hero worship. As a matter of fact, at the King Center, we refer to it as a day on, not a day off. It's not a day to hang out in the park or pull out the barbecue grill. It's a day to do something to
What Vic does is
what he did on.
He finds the DNA of the insanity and the psychosis of all this shit.
Wow.
And finds and dial and shows it to us the way.
Well, what's amazing is that. You know, both of you guys, you do. I didn't know who you were, but I know that you create the edits are. So maybe I don't like Tim and Eric. Maybe I just like what you do.
Coming around. That's why we're here.
Maybe I just like what you do with the shit that they do.
Right.
Exactly. Well, that was kind of our joke is that oftentimes we'll go down into the studio like you guys have here and fuck around for, 20 minutes and give it to Doug. He'll find something funny about that. I don't know.
Well, that is amazing.
He'll shine our shit.
He'll
Can we curse on this, or are you guys trying to stay away from that?
The only word, we don't want any word but cunt.
Oh. I knew it. Cunt.
Cunt is the only word that we allow.
I look forward to the day when I could say that word in front of my daughter.
You can now. You can.
Really?
Why? Yeah, why are you saying that?
You can.
I can.
No one's stopping you.
My daughter is funny because she scolds me when I curse, and I do curse, but she's very sensitive to Jesus Christ. We're not a Christian. Like, I grew up Catholic, but we're not raising our kids in a church or anything.
Why not?
You know, we were talking about a different C word.
Yes, I know you are. I changed it. I went a different direction, but she's like, I don't like when you say Jesus Christ. That's very disrespectful, because she's picking up on the Lord somehow from some other source. She's becoming like independently Christian.
Wow.
Kind of cool.
Yeah, maybe something about that makes her.
Find it your own way. Yeah, it's like her way of rebellion.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is there any way that you can edit this conversation so that it makes sense to me?
Yeah, we're kind of like speaking as
well,
code.
You dumb cunt. Talk right. Yeah. So how he understands.
Yes. The cunt word I've talked about before is my son. When my son was your daughter's age, when he was 8, he said something. Outside of the podcast and in real life, I was much more conservative as a parent. And I think my son said the F word. Mm-hmm. And I told him he can't use that word. Number one, because it's disrespectful. Number two, because you don't even know what these words mean. And he said, I know what all the words mean. I said, you know what all the words? He goes, I know the worst word. I said, what is the worst word? And he said, what girls don't want to be called. You know, that part. And he was pointing at his crotch. I go, you could say it. Tell me what you think it is. And he goes, you know, the K word. And my wife was mad at me because I never corrected him. And to this day, he's sitting right here. He's here. He thinks that cunt is spelt with a K. Alex? That's him in the hat. Spell cunt. Alex?
K-U-N-T.
Don't tell him.
K-E-N-T.
Oh, you didn't hear that. Tim just realized he's not wearing headset. So you,
Now when I put the headset on, I'm going to become much more guarded. Because I have a sort of internal understanding that this is a recording. When you take it off, we're just talking. We're just off.
Right.
Should I take mine off too? Do I? I've
Do
never
put the
done
microphones
it.
Away or something.
Huh? Turn the microphones off.
Turn it all off. Shut it off.
So do these guys? So as
can we just hang out? Why does this have to be a show?
What is the name of your podcast?
Office Hours Live.
Office Hours Live
with Tim Heidecker.
Mm-hmm.
That's the full.
Oh, really? He edited it, and then you put it back on.
Yeah. Featuring the
It's
Holy
just your Office name. It's hours. Just your name on there.
Well, you saw how
well,
I knew that.
We're now known as the Holy Trinity.
Yeah.
Speaking again,
but
back
on the podcast,
and you're wondering where your daughter gets
look
her.
At, there it is. The there website's we up
look
and
at that
running.
Beautiful website.
So we've had almost 200 episodes. We had Natasha Lyonne on last week.
Is that how she likes her name pronounced?
Lyonne.
Am I said Lyon, and
no,
I think
it's Lyonne.
She corrected me.
No, it's Natasha.
Oh,
Natasha.
Oh, the first one.
Yes. Natasha.
Yeah, and you do. You,
what's the? It's a lot of fun. So we started it. I started about 5 or 6 years ago, out of the Absolutely offices.
Right.
Just, you know, embracing new technology, seeing that you could just kind of jump on. I think it was Facebook Live at the time. But you can just go live on these devices and connect with your audience. So I started doing that just for fun, just to kill time in the morning.
With these two?
No, not with these two. And then they came in. Vic came in, or Doug came in first and started doing little sound drops and little.
That's my role is that. Well, that's both of our role. Well, we also speak, but we are doing.
You know, Fred from the Howard Stern show.
Yeah, you know, like, I understand like sound drops. I know what they are. Yeah. Are you going to be doing any today? Them. Well, like
what?
He's.
I didn't know. It's possible.
No, but just verbally or just.
Oh yeah, we can shout him out. Yeah.
And then, wow, you guys are so amazing. Fucking amazing. How did you come up with that?
I just was working on it on the way here. And I was like, try it out.
Well, you had a lot of time on the way here.
Yeah, a lot of time.
The thing that you don't know, so they were lost.
Uh-huh.
And then I'm not going to give out our address, but we have an address. And then Tim calls them and says, where are you guys? It's like, and they say they're at this address.
Go ahead. It's and not our we, fault.
Well, wait.
Not
and then,
our fault. They
say they're at this address. And we're standing out front. So now we think one of the cars out front. Then I hear him say, what car are you in? So we're looking for car. What do you mean it's not your fault? Did somebody send you drive
we
instead of avenue?
We got this professional calendar, and it says, do you want to have this address? You click on that. And it's the
wait.
Kind
you
of
got
thing
a professional
like,
calendar?
Well, it
was
like
in a calendar. It was an official like event,
yeah,
right?
It was like happened.
You know, and there's you know how some streets are place and some of them are Ave. It was one of those
drives.
Things. And somebody sent
place.
Us to the place, to the wrong place. Drive. Ave.
Is it somebody from us?
Yeah, it would be.
We got to go up the chain and figure out where the hell it started.
No disrespect. Caroline. No disrespect. I clicked on that same link and came here beautifully. Perfectly in time. Perfectly.
Yeah, they all had the same link. They all had a professional calendar.
Yeah,
one
link,
found the place.
Same phone, same technology, same iPhone.
And you came in three separate cars, perfectly. Right?
Yeah.
I think you did it to set us back so you can dunk on us and get here first.
So, well, you know, for these right. talk shows, you need something.
I think you wanted that number one spot. So you're like, I got to get there first.
I'll sit anywhere you want.
So, Tim and Eric.
Yeah.
No, are you doing more stuff?
Not right now. We direct commercials together for,
right.
you know, for the cash.
Is there a commercial running right now that is a Tim and Eric directed commercial? Because I watch commercials and they don't. I never stay around for the credits.
No.
Is there a commercial right now?
I don't know if there is. I don't remember.
Yeah, you do.
I don't. There's a Alaska Airlines commercial that we did last year that I might be still running. Once we're done, I don't look back and keep track.
Are you in the commercial?
No.
You just direct them.
Just direct them. Yeah.
And are they in that Tim and Eric style?
I would say that the companies that hire us want like a little like a
more corporate, a little
like a touch of that. They want a taste of that.
Like a very serious stuff. Commercial with a bad wig.
Yeah. Yeah. or just a little flavor of weird, but you know.
Weirdness is what I love.
The creative side, the real stuff, you know, we went on tour in 2020. We did a show called Beef House. Which,
wait, in 20?
Well,
during COVID?
Sorry, January and February and very early March of 2020. We were all over the world spreading the disease.
Wow.
That's where it started.
Per Fauci's request.
Wow.
Yeah.
People
I shouldn't
don't know
say
that.
This. I mean, I shouldn't get into this now, but it's true.
Yeah.
People don't know that.
No.
This is an exclusive because you haven't spoken publicly about this before.
2019, Thanksgiving.
Fauci
2019,
booked it, right?
Fauci came to us and said, we have a disease we need you to spread. How can you do it? I said, we can go on tour. Mm-hmm. That's what we
you.
Did. Little vials. We were given little vials and put it in the
smoke machine, right?
In the street. Yeah.
Because you had that big smoke machine.
It's a good
finale.
Way to distribute.
Are you making that up?
I am making it up, sir. Yes.
Oh.
You shouldn't have even asked.
I'm being, as my father would say, facetious.
You shouldn't have asked. I want to see the comments and how many people just take that and run
well,
away.
Well, how do you know he's not lying? Yeah. How do you know he's
clip that
not
out before
lying?
You said it was a
yeah,
joke.
No, you're right.
But wait.
It might have been true.
So then we also made this show called Beef House, which ran on Adult Swim. And, you know, for various reasons, it was sort of like a one and done season. I like the line that we got from Adult Swim was, we like it, we don't need it. Have you ever been told anything like that? Where you would go, okay.
My wife
I guess
once
I'll just
said
go
that.
Fuck myself.
My wife once said that about my penis.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Right, Jackie?
Uh-huh.
So we're taking a little break, but then we're writing things and talking and having lunches and trying to figure out what we're going to do next. But, you know, we're also.
Tired
know.
Of each other?
Tired of, not tired of each other, but we got other, Eric's very into the food scene, if you're
it's
familiar with, he's got a cookbook out and he's going, always going out to eat. And I'm.
And
I'm,
you don't eat.
And I
look
only,
at the, that's why you lost weight.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, Eric I, left.
He's like, where do you, let's get together and work. Is that, can we do it without eating? He goes, no, we can't. So that's it. We're in an impasse. No.
I'm putting out a chewing book. Some people show you how to cook it. I show
I'm
how
very
to
into
eat.
Gum right now.
Different slices
like
and
gum.
Cuts.
Oh, chewing.
Chewing gum.
Not cooking. It's the next
yeah,
step.
Yeah, there's different styles of how to cut and how to put it in your mouth.
There's
different
food preparation.
Spoons,
and then
forks, all that stuff.
And when will that be?
You know, I think what we don't ever talk about when it comes to food is I love food. I love eating food. But it immediately turns to shit.
No one talks about
not
that.
Corn. Mm-hmm.
Not corn. Or gum.
We found out
gum?
Why.
If you swallow gum.
Keep
right?
swallowing gum and you find gum in your logs.
Is that true? If you swallow gum, does it
well,
still come out as gum?
Well, that's the wives' tale that it stays in your...
No, it goes through.
No. No, I once swallowed a piece of gum. It got right to the edge of my anus and then my anus began to chew. and it wouldn't spit it out. And I go, well, spit it out, yeah, spit it out.
Get a bubble going.
Big bubble butt down there. Bubble
now
butt?
You're going, that's just stupid. Yeah. That's, why would you take it to
that's
that?
It's too weird. Okay.
What is wrong with you?
Well, that's when he yes ands everything. Mm-hmm. He thinks everything.
I guess he's not editing today.
No, he's not. Got diarrhea of the mouth.
But you can't really chew gum with your ass.
I mean, I was loving that visual and where you're going with it. So,
I was just making that up. That like it didn't happen.
Okay.
Can I ask what is this big thing?
It's a
that is my penis. For those that are listening and not
that
watching,
is actually that top of your head there does look a little phallic, doesn't it?
No, I think he's pointing at the. We have like a video wall?
Yeah,
a
video wall. Yeah.
How do you not know
this video wall?
I don't know. I want these things in my life, but I can't afford them and there's no room for them.
Have you guys not made a fortune?
I keep it all to myself. I keep that money for myself.
You've never seen it, but I find it fascinating with the amount of television you've done, the amount of directing you've done.
It just seems unique. It just seems to in this space. Like I've seen it at, you know,
outside
stadiums.
It's not even a good screen.
It's kind of
like. Are you knocking my screen?
I mean, it's like pixelated.
Yeah, it's also. Yeah, I don't even know if I want it now. I might be taking this back.
It's pixelated and it's like a bunch of screens put together.
And it doesn't seem like it's being used functionally for the show in a way. It's off camera.
We all watched the video.
What are we doing?
We're looking online.
Like you could
together.
Put a nice Samsung up there on that TV, a nice from Target for $1,000, and then you'd be happy. But this thing, it's just too big.
Or a projector. Yeah.
I just cut the sides off too. If you think about it,
it's a terrible way.
Heidecker.
Yeah. The
see that Vic Bird.
Wait a minute. Now I'm getting really angry with it because I mean it's square.
It's not even a good turn off now.
It's not even 4x3. It's square. It's 1x1.
Yeah, it isn't 4x3.
Yeah. What are you gonna do? Watch a movie on that?
Do we even have a shot of this, Jeremy? Do the people at home know?
What are you gonna watch? A turn of the century train coming at you like square?
Wait, look at they have the remote cameras. You see that? They can control the cameras from in there. That's what we need.
Wow. Look at it moving.
Can we start doing our podcast out of here? But we would be making some major changes.
Yeah. Yeah. Is this a podcast or are you just sitting there critiquing everything that you see?
Oh, look, the cameras are moving. I hate the screen.
We would love you to.
Where do you do
your podcast?
In my garage, which is now a studio, but yeah, in Glendale. Just in my house, at my house.
Probably was a little smaller than this room.
We were doing it out of Absolutely Productions, and then we went on tour. The pandemic hit.
The one you spread.
We're stuck at home like everybody else, so we just started doing it.
Well, it was your fault. You want to come here and do it?
I don't. Not well. There's something really nice about just going downstairs.
Not for them. They can't find their way around. Have they found your house?
The first month of doing the podcast out of here would be not good.
I wouldn't have them leave. You guys can stay here from now on and just do the podcast.
Yeah.
You want to do that?
Yeah, we've been talking about this. We want to move in. We want to live. I'm sorry, but
here's what's very
stressful. We're helping you fill the hour.
These guys lack a couple of instincts. One is the signal I got from you was you were ready to move on to something else, and right at the last second, bing, in they come with something else to say.
I saw that.
You saw that.
But because I'm noticing, what's your first name really?
I'm Doug.
Doug, you don't make eye contact.
I've been looking at you guys all day.
He's not looking at you.
He is not, very why? Sketchy. Wow. Very sketchy.
No,
guy.
But that's the thing. But in order to pick up signals, I was about to go on to another subject, but you were just looking down. You were just looking down. You weren't. You're not looking at me.
Well, when I'm thinking creatively, I have to look around.
Right.
Were you actually ready to go on to another subject?
Right.
You were thinking of something.
I'm a talk show host.
I know my stuff. Like a wog from the Game of Thrones, right?
Look, is he looking at you?
Go into my mind.
A wog,
right?
No, but you're not picking up any of my signals.
I should get that checked out.
I'm going to zero in.
Why are you saying that?
Your eyes are a bit shaded, to be honest.
Because it's
I'm wearing glasses. I have glasses.
I can see. I can make eye. I'm making eye contact with you right now. It's very nice and natural.
I just need an excuse for why I'm not contacting.
I can't. I haven't seen Tim once his entire interview.
There he is.
You couldn't find the fucking building.
I couldn't find that. I can barely find Tim in here.
I think this is going well. All right. Is this distracting you? Do you want me to turn this off?
I've become at one with it now, and I've become zen about it.
Can I be
it.
Honest with you? So this is something I got for free, and I didn't know where to put it.
I'm getting to the root now of why things are the way they are.
That's everything in this building, by the way. If you go walk around, we have a ton of
you
stuff.
You have that cost me a fucking fortune.
Me?
You.
Why?
Well, what is your actual home like? Is it very sparse and very like...
This is where I live. This is my home. Welcome to my home.
Why have I cost you a fortune?
You said everything in the building was free. Do you think you were free?
Oh,
you think
not I me. I get it.
No, but this is all stuff that I've collected throughout the years. That's the center booth from Caesar's Palace, the original.
Wow. Was that a mainstay for you, Caesar's Palace? Was that your home at a certain point?
No.
Like,
no.
No.
No, but it was a free chair. You know, people put their furniture out on the sidewalk when they're moving or they want an old couch? The same thing happens in Vegas. When they were building the new place.
Showroom or something?
The showroom for Celine Dion. Mm-hmm. All their old furniture was out front. They had old stained couches and they had this. So we took this.
Wow. It's a true, I mean, it feels like.
I was at Caesars.
That was in service up until when? Like 10 years ago or something?
Mm. When did Celine Dion start working at Caesars Palace?
I'm a big Celine Dion freak. I know everything about her.
When did Celine
Probably
Dion?
Like 20
August
years ago, 30th. Right?
No. Wait, he's got it.
August 30th, 2006.
That's it. Anyway, it's up until that was the center booth at the original Caesar's Palace. And I did play there, and I stole that sign too.
The sign is great. Caesar's Palace is not responsible for any items left backstage or in dressing rooms.
So I took it.
Oh, so the sign that justifies the okay.
2011.
That's what I thought.
You were pretty close.
Wow, pretty close.
Oh, what? 2011. So that was in service up until probably 2010, because So that's about 12 years ago.
Eric and people, I once did I said- a show. Sorry to interrupt, but there was this time right when we were coming up. Doug was probably there for this. There was the. Remember the Aspen Comedy Festival?
Yes.
So we never were a part of that, but for 1 year, they decided to try it in Vegas.
The Aspen Comedy Festival?
Yeah.
They're going to try it in Vegas.
Like, I guess HBO or TBS or somebody was
right.
doing, in charge of that comedy festival, and they're like, we're going to do it in Vegas this year. And they hired a bunch of people. I think like Jerry Seinfeld was the headlining guy. But they also hired us, Tim and Eric, to come with our gang of goons to do a show, and we did this show in Caesar's Palace at one of their like
it was like ball, a conference room
conference room right. You know, like not a real stage,
not even a beige not on the barge yeah. not on the not in a showroom not in the
no it was just like a makeshift stage, and it was so bizarre. It was kind of I don't think the tickets sold well, and so they just started like letting people in from the casino to come see our show, which, as you can imagine, was
those
a
are
nightmare
your people.
Experience. Yes. It was like a true, and we weren't even good at what we were doing yet. So it was very genuinely weird and uncomfortable with a lot of like people with free tickets who are just like, this is nuts. This doesn't feel safe. I don't want to be here. But they gave Eric and I separately each those giant suites, like the fucking,
you know, those suites.
Caesar's suites or whatever, like a whole, I could have lived the rest of my life there. It was heaven.
My daughter grew up in those suites.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was awesome. And that was when they were themed, right? And they had like shooting star things on the ceiling and a big hot tub in the middle of the room.
It was crazy.
Did you have your own suite?
No, I was little, so I was with my parents.
You know, they said they were going to get a
suite. But she did get a suite.
That's why I asked. It would have been cool if you had your own as well, you know.
No.
You know, they gave, Doug was there, they gave Eric and I these beautiful suites, and they gave him a sour.
Yeah.
There's the wordplay again.
I got a salad. I got a Caesar salad.
Oh, all the dads out there are laughing their asses off. You got to get in here.
That's all we really care about.
Write that down for the fake ad. Yeah.
But they grew up on the road. So they were, your kids come on the road with you?
No.
Never?
No way.
Do you have just one? You have an 8-year-old daughter?
A 5-year-old son.
Yeah. And do they, how do they feel about what you do? Do you ever play that? Because that stuff is so amazing.
Yeah, they do. They're starting to zone in on it a little bit. My daughter is. She thinks it's really funny to some degree.
So she likes your stuff and Christ.
Yeah.
She's an equal opportunist.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what is next for you? I know you were talking to me before the show that you have a band. I'm not really familiar with your band.
Well, you're not familiar with anything, apparently, because
these
guys are a big part of my life.
No. I had no idea. I have no idea, but I'm here to learn.
I'm
like
also,
the audience.
I'm playing the new Spider-Man. You've seen that. That was, and I won an Academy Award. I don't know if you know that.
I didn't know.
Did you see his Oscar last night?
Yeah, I won the Oscar. No. Yeah, I have a side career, I guess, as a musician.
Serious musician?
Yeah. I mean, I'm a serious guy about what I do. So whether it's comedy or music or
But is
dance
the music funny?
Or,
a dance. You're a serious dancer.
I would love to be a serious dancer. But yeah, the music is, I love, I mean, music is kind of the first love of my, for
really?
Me.
So when you came out here, or were you, you guys started in college, right? You and Tim started together in college. Yeah. But was that the dream? Was that the hope to be a musician?
I think in maybe in high school it would have been. But in college, I got into film and started working more, trying to make stuff. In the, I loved it all. I loved theater. And
you had a band. In college,
I had I had bands in high school and college.
So it was all going.
It was like whatever hit first, you just ran with that, you know.
So would you ever consider? You know, it would be a good thing. Why wouldn't you come on America's Got Talent with your band? Seriously,
I don't. Wow. I think it's all rigged. I think it's all rigged.
It's not.
I'm just kidding. I mean, what the kind of music I play is definitely not popular music.
That's good. So you've got your own niche. Unpopular music. Unpopular?
It's what do you, how would you describe, talk about my music? It's kind of 70s singer songwriter. Sardonic.
I mean, it's,
Randy Newman.
Yeah,
who has never been popular.
Never. Mm-hmm. He
Randy
had a couple
Newman.
Of hits, but.
It's not current, trendy Billie Eilish stuff. It's, you know, it's throwback rock and roll.
But I mean, but it's more of like what everything Tim's done, where he's like, he's making himself happy, he's making himself laugh, he's making. You know, he's doing the art for himself, I think, and that's
isn't that what most great artists that are successful do? Definitely.
We had a fan. This ties it together a little bit. We had a fan of Office Hours cover one of my songs. Who was on your show, Sarah Potenza?
Do you remember Sarah? On AGT?
Yeah,
she covered your song.
Not on. She didn't cover my song on, but she kind of blew up on TikTok covering one of my songs.
Can we pull that up?
Yeah, Sarah Potenza. And
she was on America's Got Talent. Too,
Trump, but not singing your song.
Not singing my song.
What's the song?
Sarah Potenza, she covered Trump. I did these Trump
songs. Oh, yeah, Trump
song.
Tower.
Trump Tower. Yeah, look up Sarah Potenza, Trump Tower.
It's happening as we speak.
Okay.
Good thing we have that screen so
know,
we can see it.
It.
Yeah.
So everybody
well, I hope
can
they
watch.
Don't not show it here now because I really like the screen now.
Aww.
They will, but you know, without the headsets, you're not going to hear
it. I know.
You
imagine
it on Instagram or yeah,
they
bunch
can't
of
find
places.
It. Sarah Potenza, yeah, we got it. Instagram photos, yeah. And then.
I mean, how do you remember all these people? I know she went fairly. I don't know how deep
she's
she
playing
went
here. I think
system.
Next week too. I'm going to go see.
She's
her
like life. A. Oh, she is.
Yeah, I think so.
She's got an incredible.
Where is she
voice.
From?
She should have won.
Where is she from?
She Nashville.
Nashville,
right?
Yeah. But I think originally New York. I think, I don't know, you guys can find it. She put it
somewhere.
She put it out officially, too. I
even
think.
If it takes long, thank God you brought an editor.
There we go.
Because Trump, we can
there,
cut this.
This is it.
Oh, this
oh yeah.
It? Okay, let's hear.
So this is a song I wrote that she's performed.
Since 2010, he's been the butt of my jokes. Special guest in my darker dreams, and I guess I thought when
that's big voice, huh?
She's amazing.
He'd eventually choke. I could come back to my little scene.
Wow, sounds good.
Now he's risen to the top of the world.
Wow.
Yeah.
But so do you sing? Incredible.
Yeah.
So you would sing that. When you do this.
I wouldn't do it like that. I mean, I don't.
She's
I,
polishing yeah. the turd like Vic and I do.
Yeah.
That's right. Just kidding.
So when you do, if you do material like that, do you find that, because I would imagine being on Adult Swim, you have, you know, it's a network.
Yeah.
So there's people from both sides.
For sure. Both sides.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Are you getting hit?
I take a lot of heat for that stuff.
You do?
Yeah.
And does that?
I don't know. For this, in the case of, we don't have to get too political, but the case of Trump, it just felt like, I mean, Vic too.
Oh yeah.
It was his thing, but it was like, you just couldn't stay quiet. I couldn't stay quiet about it.
He's like
so
a Tim and Eric
character.
But the difference between what you're doing and what Tim is doing is you're out front. What I'm saying is if you're performing live in a club and you start doing this, I would imagine.
Well, yeah. The thing is, I've never been, been a guy that like would just be at a club, I think. Like,
Where do you play? Well, with the band?
I would say like, How do I explain this? Like,
it's a club. It's a theater.
Yeah, I mean,
it's
I just wouldn't bar. Be like, you wouldn't book me at like a comedy club in Kalamazoo or something.
Right.
For a week.
Where would your band play?
In L.A., we'd play at like the Zebulon or, I guess what I'm saying is, and with Eric too, like when we would play, the audience would be there to see us. They're not there to see entertainment or comedy or music. They're there, you know, they're there to see us specifically.
They know the deal.
They're in on the joke or they're fans.
I guess the reason I bring it.
It's a little hard to just say like, I'm going to be down at the Irvine Improv for a week and whoever's there, it's going to appeal to them. It's not going to appeal to everybody.
Right.
So I'm never going to try to do that because you can have a different life where you just go on the road. I mean, a good example might be like the band Fish, who I don't necessarily like. But they have an audience that will do and go to see them, you know, wherever, whenever they're doing their thing. But you might not want to book Fish at the fairgrounds for the week because people might be like annoyed with it, you know?
You guys perform live?
I would think, though, that once you start opening up and talking about whatever your political views may be, you garner the audience that agrees with you.
Well,
so like if they're going to see you, it's probably the audience that has the same point of view because you've been open about it and you've already.
It's not going to be a big surprise.
Right.
Yeah.
But I was going to say, like, I mean, Trump is like, you've mocked him for years. I remember the first time I saw you do stand up, you were, you know, mocking him or whatever. But like,
I mean,
it's like
outside of politics and policy, he's a ridiculous character in the world.
All I'm saying is that now, and maybe I'm more, raw about it,
right?
And I don't know how long after the event that happened at the Academy Awards, you know, this is actually airing. But you know, now hitting hot points on stage is going to mean so much more. And I was, if anything came out of personally for me at the Academy Awards, was fear. You know, of opening up this can of worms to an audience that doesn't agree. One, and all it takes is one person that doesn't agree with what you're saying.
Yes.
And, you know, up until now, it was about being canceled. It was maybe about being disliked or not booked.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can get hurt. So, you know.
Yeah. I mean, Vic and I have both dealt with this where that sort of troll mentality online often feels very removed and very out in the comment sections. But there were points in both of our lives where it suddenly showed up at our doorstep in very real ways.
Really? Are you okay to talk about it?
Well, just nothing. I mean, nothing, you know, stuff sent to our house. And Vic had
a visitor from the Proud Boys come to my house and told me to stop making fun of them and stop making videos about them.
They found your
They found my address. And the guy, some wacko drove from Boston to Pennsylvania at the time to knock on my door. we don't need to bring it down too low.
No, but
it's not bringing it down. I think it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting. It is real.
There's articles about it and stuff. You know?
There's, you do risk when you speak publicly about how you feel about things. Of course, you risk opening yourself up to people that disagree with you.
Yeah.
But we, all of us in this room.
Put me on the rack next time.
we're in comedy and we're just here to make people laugh.
Yes.
And you know, it's just more dangerous to make fun of somebody now than it
was. So are you suggesting though that I assume we're talking about the Will Smith situation.
Yeah.
you feel that that has a, there are consequences to that now? Like it changed the game in a way, in some way?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
Absolutely, yes. I believe that, you know, hate, dislike, violence, negativity is probably the most contagious aspect of our humanity. And I always, you know, and people, I was talking to somebody about this. This is not, this is a bad equivalent, but it isn't. You know, I think that, you know, the first school shootings were in the 70s, but people had guns before the 70s. But that opened a door for somebody who's incredibly depressed and felt bullied. That's
introduced the concept into society.
Right. Yeah. And just like when you get one heckler in a room, or you get, you start getting comments online, it, that kind of snowballs into a lot of comments, into a troll, into that. And, you know, comedy is a place where you can and should, if you're doing your job, offend people.
Sure.
You know, I just think
I mean, we ride, I try to ride that line as close to the line as possible with, you know, coming from a place of...
Well, Tim and Eric, if anything, if you could do, is inappropriate, which is the, which is the humor, which is the beauty of what it is. But by that, now it seems like the dislike or the people that don't get it, they've gotten kind of an okay to now be violent. I mean, one step, you just talked about somebody showing up at your house. And now it could go beyond that. And I think when we see things, and there are people out there who are applauding that kind of reaction.
Yeah. Well, that was the thing. I mean, because like, it was, I think there's a difference because they gave them the main award of the night, you know, like giving a speech, wasn't he? He won lead actor, right? I mean, so that does normalize it.
So it's scary for people like us that do. I love to dangle on the inappropriate.
Yeah. But now it's in the back of your head that, and that'll perhaps muzzle you before you even get
100%.
Well, speaking of inappropriate, though, my dad used to show me your stand-up tapes back in when I was way too young to.
But what was inappropriate about it, his dad used to have my VHS tapes, and he used to walk in naked.
That's I mean,
rubbing his penis, going, look at this funny comic. Look at this funny comic. No, I know. That's how my
I know. Yeah, it's just how
we do that. I mean, we do a live. We do a live 2-hour show every Thursday, and it's often improvised. I mean, it's all improvised. It's all off the seat of our pants, out of this. And you know, we are going to. I'm going to say things that offend various people. We're going to not be super sensitive about every single sub quadrant of type of person out there. I can't think of a good example. There was always something where I say something, and somebody writes like, "Hey, you know, I actually have." Like, you know, I'm actually struggling with my weight. And if you're like making light of the, so.
You say, my dad's a Grateful Dead fan. So why would you say something?
Yeah. No, but so, everybody, that's everything that they can be sensitive about. But even things that are sensitive. I find myself in my life now, I've never thought this before. You know, I love stand-up comedy. And stand-up comedy is my basis for everything that anybody knows me from. That's that was my go-to place. Not anymore.
Right.
I'm finished with that being this. I actually like this, where I can have a conversation. But my fear is that, you know, that was the place where I can just take off any edit, like you're talking about your two-hour show.
Yeah.
And it could just throw it out there and kind of discover my little art.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
And you also have the room, I think people have the room to to have regret or apologize. If I say something that I said something in the heat of the moment, it's not really where I feel. There's an opportunity to, I hope that we have an opportunity to say, you know what, I shouldn't, I apologize if that hurt your feelings. I think there's room for that too.
But I think comedy is like shading, you know, and it's like I was talking to somebody before the show. Comedy is an art form where it's, you know, you're going to throw black paint onto the canvas, and then you want to shade it. And you go, oh, that's too dark. Let me lighten that. So you want to cross that line. And that was the place where you could cross the line and then find out where you got to bring it back. How crazy can you get?
And oftentimes you figure that out in the confines and the comfort and privacy of the club itself, not with the phones going and it being televised.
But it's amazing what now, people are, everybody's offended by everything. You know, I've apologized so many times in the last couple of years. I'm on network television. And they make me apologize for things that, and I will, if you're offended or you feel bad, you know,
well,
I feel bad.
How dare you judge people? I mean, you
know? No, but I do feel bad.
You shouldn't criticize him just because he's not a good singer. That's not fair.
You know? But it's not even that. It's like, it's funny that you say the Grateful Dead, you know, yeah. Like you don't know what you're saying that people take.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, I think most people agree and most, but I mean, the Will Smith thing is a very extreme example, but it is a harbinger of maybe a bad. You're right. It might
he opened the door.
Concept.
I think he introduced the concept, and there's no backpedaling for that.
Right.
I'm not talking about him personally. I'm talking about from what people saw.
Do you think
saw.
He introduced the concept and made it okay, or do you think people's reaction and him getting an applause after when he's accepting the award and
well,
stuff like that kind
I mean,
of opens the door?
I'll say one thing. I don't know how easy it would have been to, like, in real time, like, absorb what happened and then adjust for him whether or not he was going to win and how to deal. Like, I can only imagine that it was complete chaos with no one knowing what to do, right? Mm-hmm.
So therefore, well, how does that answer hurt?
No, I think, like, it might not be as, like, yeah, I don't know. I just mean, like, I'm sure it was just pure chaos.
But shouldn't we know in the moment as human beings that you shouldn't go up and be violent?
I bet a good chunk of the people in real time thought it was a bit.
Yeah, I mean, I did too. The first time I saw it, I thought it was.
Because if you didn't hear what he, I don't know. I only know
but
what said, I
but
know.
Then, but and then he sat down.
Yeah, and then yelling. Crazy.
Right. So that's within 30 seconds right. of the actual hit. So right. you think that there's people there that thought that was a bit.
These are very stupid people. You have to remember. This is a room full of actors.
That didn't air though. I don't think on American TV.
It didn't.
It got bleeped.
But you could hear it in the. If you were in the room, you could have heard.
And you could read lips.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, but Vic. I feel like it was like. No, I feel like it was like a looking into a slice of his life that we shouldn't see. You know what I mean? Like we shouldn't see. Like,
well, it's been analyzed.
If he
but
feels
I think
comfortable,
it is interesting
that
he laughed at the joke.
Yeah. Right.
And then saw that she was not happy. And
well, how long have you been married?
Yeah, exactly. I know enough not to take my wife to these events. You know,
there was an interview he did, like, I don't know if it was 20 years ago. And he's like, when I was 15, my first girlfriend cheated on me. So I said I was going to become the best actor of all time to make up for it.
Right.
So that he's a kind of you can kind of see where
he's one of those.
Wait, 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 wait. So I don't. I'm trying to get. No,
well,
I don't get.
He was
going to
make up for. So he was like hurt, wounded by this girl.
Right.
And
that's his original
fill that hole.
Wound. Yeah. It was the same wound of like the relationship thing.
You're taking it back to the breakup.
Yeah.
I'm a little suspicious of these like hyper motivated successful people in general. They usually turn out to be psychos.
Yeah.
I think
I mean, you seem very successful.
Not
so
you.
You're probably
not
me.
Not you. No. I don't know, right? Aren't these all these people are like presidents? All the presidents are loons.
Well, if you they're get out to of the, touch, though. Yeah.
Well,
get to that place in life, you're like
he's trying to say something
nutty.
Well, I did have a thought that like
for once
we're all just gonna need bodyguards and the bodyguard business is gonna go through the roof. You know,
you always glass half full. Glass half full.
Comedians can keep saying what they want. Just bring your bodyguard.
This is really a boon to the bodyguard business.
Yeah,
security.
Time to invest.
Security.
Uh-huh.
I love the way you think. I wasn't
I think they should have like in the Blues Brothers, they had the chicken wire up. You know,
in the club,
invest in chicken wire.
Yeah, mm-hmm. For the stand-up comedian.
Wow. Bring your own chicken wire cage when you do stand-up.
This is better than NFTs. I'm telling you, chicken wire and security is where you got to put your money.
Lock it all down.
People listen to this podcast for input on
business,
on cryptocurrency,
investing.
Are you guys in cryptocurrency? Are you in cryptocurrency?
No,
no, you.
I'm
making an episode for Vice News right now on it, but it's like I don't understand it. It's so confusing.
You're making an episode and you don't understand.
That's what it's about. It's just for me to learn things, and then I put out a video. Yeah.
Eric and I last year when NFTs just started bubbling up as a thing, we didn't understand it, but someone reached out to us and like, you can make good money, and you've got all this stuff, and you could own your own art and all that crap. And so this guy set it up for us, and we're like, I had read a couple things where I was a little iffy about it, a little confused, and then we did it. We did one.
Are you gonna throw up?
Just thinking about the experience. We did one.
You're gagging.
And within right away, it was like ding, 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 ding. People like, no, 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 no. This is the, how could you? This is, I hate this. Not you, not you guys.
Sellouts,
blah, blah. And we just tanked. We just killed it right away. Because it was so much more.
Backlash was hard.
Because I read about it and I thought it was all, I think it's all junk. I still do. But I think it's a scam. But we tried the scam and we realized that I think the perception of for us is way more valuable than whatever monetary gain, even if it's some of it's like overblown.
A billion?
What?
What if it was a billion?
Well, there's always a number, Doug. there's always a cash out number, right? But yeah, I mean, it just felt like the perception, at least, and some of it's true, some of it's not, but the perception from our audience, who are very cool, liberal, woke people a lot of the time, was that this wasn't a good thing to be involved with. And so we just fucking bailed. It was just like, somebody else can, we don't have to do all these things, you know?
Right.
It's too much to really even absorb and understand.
I kind of get the appeal, though, where it's somebody explained to me as like baseball cards. Like I had baseball, basketball cards growing up and everything. So you just put a value on it. It's just, you know, cardboard or whatever, but people are paying thousands of dollars for it. So it's.
I understand.
I sort of get it. I sort of get it.
I do get it.
Yeah. You get it?
I do.
Do you think it's a pump and dump kind of thing where it's like, do you know who Gary Vee is?
Yeah.
Of course.
Okay. Because like I saw this like story of him where he brought up, or he called all his richest friends and said, I'm selling V-Bucks or whatever they are. And all these billionaires bought it. And then eventually they talk about it to their friends and everything. And then they get out of it, sell it, and then they cash it's out. But then there's all these like little
money laundering. I think it depends,
it's like multi-level marketing kind of thing.
Well, in anything, there's going to be corruption and there's going to be abuse. I mean, in anything. But what was always funny about crypto and you have these guys be like, this is the one thing that's not that they can't control, or that you know, like this is the exception to the rule, and that always felt disingenuous.
But that's it's the same as just a regular stock market, things like that too.
Speculative.
It's always gambling,
right?
And gambling, and it's a game, and life is a game, and you guys seem to be playing the game pretty well.
We are the masters of the game.
You are the masters, spreading the virus. making us dance. So on the podcast, you've never invited me.
Well, I think this was
you're
the entree.
Not liked. You're not liked. He doesn't like you.
I've never been on the Tim and Eric
on
show.
Thursday. Well, I think what this was about was a bit of a, like, you know, dogs at the dog park kind of sniff each other's ass and figure out if they like each other.
And?
That's what this is. This is a little
So I think of the smell. You like it? So how do I smell to you right now?
A little horse trading. A little horse trading.
Is this,
I don't know how we would come to Glendale. What do you think? Do you think?
Ooh, Glendale. Yeah. I don't know.
Amerikan Idol would be perfect.
That'd be Thursday. That would be
Glendale is the land of the people. Did you know that?
It's the land of the Armenian people, but I don't know about the people.
What are you saying?
It's the land of the people. Caroline knows.
What are you talking about?
No.
What are you saying? You
can't. The Kardashians said it's the land of the people.
Because they're Armenian.
It is.
They're
heavily,
Armenian.
It is
didn't they? Isn't that the viral Armenian sound? And then this isn't the land of the people, Kim. This is Glendale.
Do the Kardashians live in Glendale?
No.
They live the Armenian Calabasas. People do, but they're Armenian, right?
Right. I thought, because there are some swanky.
I don't know the reference. I just know the viral sound from TikTok.
Okay. Oh, great.
We'll put that into our drop bucket.
Do you ever get, going back to, I'm fascinated, and I don't mean to dwell on this, but I'm fascinated by Tim and Eric.
Yeah.
The a lot of the characters, did they get the joke? A lot of the real, the like.
Whoever gets the joke, you know? I mean, some of them more than others. I think. There was never any kind of like, it was definitely never like a hidden camera situation.
No, it's not. Where they're on a show.
Yeah,
and they
it was like, this is a comedy show. You know, to this day, when I do another show called On Cinema, and there's a lot of characters in that show. And the same thing went with Tim and Eric. Most of the time, our notes are, just don't try to be funny. That's our own, we're casting you for who you are. Be yourself. The idea is funny. We're going to make it funny, but don't. I just think we had this attitude that, like, yes, I'll get that's to
it. I like how he signals it's time for me to.
No, this is just for when you're done. I just.
What?
It was like, we didn't want to be the guys. There was a lot of sketch comedy where it was like young guys with gray wigs on and mustaches playing old people, you know?
Right.
And we're like, why don't we just cast old people? You know, why don't we just cast real people to play these smaller parts? And then that led to sort of realizing how much potential real people had in just being funny in their own natural way for who they are.
What did you want to add to that?
I think I know what you're getting at with the question, and I think
I knew what he was getting at too. It wasn't very complicated. What are you, some kind of genius when it comes to interpreting Howie Mandel?
Yeah, actually, yeah.
He's a Mandel whisperer.
I have the Mandela effect.
What did I mean? Because I didn't.
You're saying some of those people seem like, you know, maybe we're making fun of them or something like that, but I can say from firsthand experience that they seem genuinely like they're just happy to be, maybe they don't get it, but they're just super happy to be on the show and they come begging for more.
And then they're like personalities, you know, on the web.
And they don't know. They're just happy that people enjoy them and they, you know, they have no problem with it.
Right.
You know?
So that's my favorite kind of comedy, when it's a real person and when you're watching it subliminally, you know that that person, that's what why it's funny, because they don't get it and they're really serious. They think they're on an interview show.
Right.
Which isn't really an interview show. It's a sketch. But they don't know. Do they know they're in a sketch, or do they think that that interview show is real?
All Dolled Up would be one exception.
There's one exception. There's always an exception. There were a couple of guys that were kind of background players on the show that we had smaller parts for. And what was so funny to us about them was hearing them talk to other actors off camera about their war stories, about being on shows and working on shows.
Right.
And I thought, I would love to just capture, how do you capture that in on camera without, affecting it through telling them what to do? And so we did set up this one sketch called All Dolled Up that you could put up.
All Dolled Up.
I think it's my favorite sketch that we've ever done. But we basically, the sketch was a talk show where two actors talk about their experiences, but while they're getting clown makeup applied to
them. They think they're in a makeup chair for a shoot coming up, but this is the shoot.
But we ended up, the only time we did this is we just started rolling before we came down on set. So we just let them sit, we walked away, knowing that they would just start talking to each other, and that's what happened. And it's the best.
Nobody said, they know there were cameras there, right?
Yes.
Let's watch.
Then we came down 10 minutes later and said, all right, let's shoot. And then we shot for 5 minutes and said, we're good.
They
saw it. They loved it. They don't get maybe what's funny about that.
I had the honor and privilege of working with a lot of really outstanding actors.
Yeah, well, I've been in the business 35 years.
Have you done motion capture?
Absolutely. Worked on this feature in like January, December, January, that was just awful. And I'm like, excuse me, I'm going to the bathroom.
I said, you actually think you're going to get a good performance out of your crew when you yell and scream at them?
No.
I got that one from my dad. Did you ever work on Journeyman?
Yeah, I worked a show that was across the stage, across the street.
Which one?
I was Dragnet 1989.
Mm-hmm. I was on the crew that hung your scaffold.
Yeah. But I worked the out of that show.
It was a fun
I worked
show.
that whole period at that lot.
I worked on Emergency. I worked on that.
I worked
Paramount
on Quincy.
Boy, it was Happy Days of Yours, really. Mork and Mindy.
Nancy Drew.
My face should look a little bit familiar to you because I was.
Nope. Sorry, Gary.
Thanks for being with us. And thanks for watching All Dolled Up.
Yeah.
We'll see you next time.
Can I get that line?
And of course, that's a lot of.
That's amazing.
That's
people
a lot
need
of,
to watch.
Yeah. What is this? Tennessee Luke Fortenberry, right? He just, another just, you know, I mean, we grew up with Letterman and.
Right.
And Larry Bud Melman and those kind of people, and just being like, there's just people out there just true originals.
I love that. I love that. You know, I used to.
Where else are they going to fit in except in our world? You know,
that's the thing. You know, I always used to argue with Howard Stern.
Yeah.
Always when he was a host, when he was a judge on America's Got Talent,
mm-hmm.
And I said I grew up like that. I grew up. You know, Tiny Tim was the first person I was aware of.
Sure.
You know, that was kind of different.
Yeah.
But celebrated.
Yeah.
And you know, and Professor Irwin Corey.
I don't know that.
You don't know who he is?
No, I
know. No, I'm older than you guys. I'm going to be 67 this year. Oh. Professor Irwin Corey. Put up Professor Irwin Corey. I'll show you who he was. But he was like Larry Bud Melman before Larry Bud Melman.
Yeah.
And all the and there was people that were always on talk shows just because they were
eccentrics.
They were eccentric, and I used to say, and I used to want to put them through
because
I think they can be a star and stand out. And I would go see if you could put together a whole show with these two guys all dolled up in Vegas, I probably would go to that show.
Sure, yeah.
And probably your followers would, put a huge production around.
I understand that there's a very large group of people out there that find that uncomfortable to watch. And so that's
But I always say to them, you know, this is Irwin Corey. Look, he's on Letterman.
Watch is he the real guy or is he doing a bit?
He wasn't that different in real. He kind of understood what he was, but I never saw him, like, even in public, different. Play him for a second.
Of our birth. I was born in New York. And being born in New York was being wonderful because, you know, on a clear day, you could see where you live. I know a lot of people don't realize that. They move to Peoria where it's quiet, there's no trains, no buses.
He doesn't make eye contact either. Yeah. fellow genius.
Yeah. But I mean, Howard Stern, of all people, is one of the kings of this as well.
His ill-informed. Right. You've got to ask questions, not from those who seem to be in the place of authority, because they are only there due to the graciousness.
Okay, but anyway, he was just a point of, I don't know if that's the funniest bit he's done.
Well, but it's also just for Letterman to have something fun to play around with.
Like, right, but I love these oddballs. Again, in our society right now, when I celebrate that, even on AGT, people go, you're making fun. And I'm not really making fun at all. I'm enjoying the oddity of humanity.
Yeah.
And I want to celebrate and give this person a platform and somebody that is a little bit different. And if you can celebrate that uniqueness, see, I find like the Tim and Eric stuff, like All Dolled Up.
Yeah.
That's great. As much as it's so out there, it's crazy, crazy subtle.
Yeah.
Because.
Well, most people, I think a lot of people are like those guys. And don't see what I or some of us feel is funny about that kind of braggadocio. That sort of attitude.
It's an Italian word.
Knowing to like being a little arrogant about something that you shouldn't be arrogant about. That's what I pick up.
But
from
even
them.
And even those cuts.
And the cuts.
You know, that's subtle. That's really subtle. And people laugh at it and don't know why they're laughing. You know, the juxtaposition of the bravado with the silly makeup is brilliant.
Yeah.
But
thank you.
You
can't. Don't know why the laughing is my favorite type of
laugh. Steve Martin, I think he was on Howard actually talking about this when he put out his book, Still Standing or whatever.
Right.
Said he was like a traditional stand-up for a few years, like telling jokes. And he got like had this crisis where he's like, I want to get to that place in comedy that you have with your friends when you're laughing and it's this rolling laughing where you've kind of, you don't know where it begins and ends. And it's just, it's that guttural. It's like the way you're feeling watching All Dolled Up. It doesn't really, there's no punchline in there. There's no setup. There's no, there's just the wave of the experience of it.
But there's also a subliminal feel that it's real.
Yeah.
It's not a written, like, I don't like jokes.
Yeah, yeah.
The fact that that is real makes it even more. That is genuine comedy. That's what comedians, you know, they can make fun of something and that sounds derogatory, but they're not.
Yeah.
What are you enjoying? You're seeing the humor where other people don't see the humor. The more serious those guys are, the more real those guys are, the funnier those guys are.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I know that some people I would show that to would go, okay.
I wonder what 15-year-old...
No, it's kind of like, do you like Curb Your Enthusiasm?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Curb Your Enthusiasm is kind of got a real, I like it.
Yeah.
I like it a lot. But, you know, when you think about something that is that supposedly successful in HBO's, they're getting on HBO, they get maybe 1 million viewers, maybe 2 million would be huge on that show. Most people, as I travel around the world, they'll go, you know, he's
so mean.
Right.
Yeah. And
that's the
too uncomfortable.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's why it's funny. That's the, you know,
that's the good stuff for us. But I could name a dozen shows that I would probably watch and, you know, grin and bear through it. Like my daughter watches these, you know, there's these sitcoms now that are on Netflix that are like for, I don't know who they're for. They're for like kids, but they're like that Disney sitcom format that there's a laugh track and it's a family and there's,
yeah, that, you know, it's that like, doesn't work.
It doesn't make me smile.
No, know? It doesn't make me smile at all.
No,
but I love that's why I love you guys. I love and people don't know. And I'm being the fact that you have the ability to edit and to create a rhythm that makes you laugh. It's kind of like jazz music.
Well, it is like music. I mean,
but it is.
We all play music and it feels like it.
But it is, you know, really good music. Jazz is really good. Jazz doesn't really, you know.
That's a good sample, by the way. We're going to take Howie Mandel saying jazz is really good. And it's going to be on our show. Trust me.
It's loaded with
if it makes it.
Oh, yes. So many.
But that's what I love it. I love the rhythm of these cuts. And I love when I laugh at it. It's like a cymbal hit, you know, when you see a shot of like weird and even the choices in the discussion.
Yeah.
You ever done stop motion? You know?
Yeah, like, yeah. Like, yeah. I rigged the hell out of MASH.
Yeah. Great. But just two guys, I was put in a green suit with some ping pong balls. You didn't do that? It's just fucking amazing. And you guys have always, as a group, delivered what I believe is the highest ranking jazz albums of comedy that I have ever seen. And I envy you and was jealous of you because I have that. I like that.
Yeah.
I've fallen into and enjoy doing broadcast TV. There's no way any broadcaster would have allowed me to do, you know, anything like you're doing. I love what you're doing. And that must be such a joy just to be, it is like you just articulated one, to be with your friends, just to do silly things. That's why I bought this building.
Yeah.
And a lot of things I do end up nowhere.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's what we want to show on our channel.
But that's funny. But I just have a good time doing it. And if me and two people laugh, I really live by that adage. If I could just make one person laugh, which is most of my time, it's just making one person laugh. And that one person is just me.
It's not your daughter.
No.
Do we definitely not mom.
No. Never. Nobody laughs in my house at me. No, you do. You
think
I'm,
no, I
think I'm funny, right?
Now I think he's funny.
Yeah. Well, now?
Growing up, like growing up, though.
We've talked about this. He wasn't funny growing up. He wasn't a funny dad.
So you didn't bring it home?
No.
The humor, the energy.
No.
Because your early stuff is so full of and energy is the word.
And
right?
I also wasn't allowed to see your stand up when I was younger too.
When I was,
let's put up some early Howie Mandel.
I was watching some before, you know, preparing for this. And I when I was growing up, you were.
Wait
one
a second.
Of the,
you're prepared.
I mean, I just wanted to watch your clips because when I was growing up, I remember, like, of course, the glove on the head was like one of the first stand-up things I remember. Like,
so I've told this many times, but the truth of the matter is, I went up on a dare. You know,
oh wow,
and that was just fear. And I thought the joke was going to be, they said you should get up on stage. I'm not a fucking comedian. I'm going to get. I thought the joke. I didn't think things through. Was somebody was going to go, ladies and gentlemen, Howie Mandel. The fuck is Howie Mandel? that's the joke,
right?
Ladies and gentlemen, Joe Schmo.
Yeah.
And I was going to walk up, and then in that moment, after I walked up, I noticed people sitting there waiting, and out of that came pure fear.
Instinct.
Instinct.
Right.
And I went, okay. All right.
That's how you started.
All right. And they started giggling at the okay. And I went, what? All right. Okay. And I also put my hands in my pocket. And I, you probably know I have OCD.
Yeah.
And I carried rubber gloves with me because I know when I was out, I would have to go to a public restroom.
Oh, wow. So that's going on.
So I had it. And then I go, okay. And I just pulled it over my head and I started breathing. And they started laughing as the fingers were going up. And then I blew it up.
The first time.
Wow. And I went, good night.
Wow. You
know? Get out of there. Wow.
And the guy went, you got to come back tomorrow. And I go, what do I do? He goes, do the same thing. I go, I did nothing. I did nothing. And my whole act was based on nothing.
Yeah.
Which I thought was a joke. And Steve Martin was one of my favorite comedians of all time at the time before I watched Richard Pryor work, because the joke that I related to was he was joking about bad jokes, right? The wild and crazy guy,
I think what happens is you have to, if you are talking to an audience that is a frame of reference for culture or for maybe in pop culture or like just life, then you can make those kinds of jokes. Because it's like we've been oversaturated with humor, with jokes. So we get it already. Now we can make fun of that stuff, right?
Can we?
Well, some
not now. We
maybe right not right now.
Right now, yeah. I'm feeling there are so many, and that's why I love
you. Well, I do a stand-up. I do a bad stand-up character. If you put in an evening with Tim Heidecker, real quick, just to show you what it looks, and you will see what an asshole I can become very quickly.
Watch the trailer
or the trailer. I don't know, but
is it the trailer?
You can just put the whole thing on and just let skip it roll. Anywhere. But this is a bad guy. And lately I've been doing the act where I come out.
But you're using your real name. So do people know that you're doing a character or do they think it's you?
They figure it out eventually, usually. I used to do it in front of unsuspecting audiences and they would, you know, be very uncomfortable because.
And that wasn't that great?
And it was fun. But it is also fun to get laughs too, you know? So
I love I'll hate. Have them both I right. love
can take it down because when I say TNA, I'm talking about token and ale. So
it looks like a stand-up set. And I you're right.
What else? I love food. Is everybody here? I mean, I love food. I love I guess I'm a foodie. I don't know. I'm a foodie. Sue me, I'm a foodie.
There's one joke here.
I said to my friend, and he said, you gotta use this in the show. I said, if I ever get to go to another planet, right? I said, if I ever get to go to another planet, I will not be saying, take me to your leader, right? You see that in the movies, take me to your leader. I will be saying, take me to your sushi. That's what a foodie I am.
Sucks.
So listen, folks, like I said,
it doesn't even rhyme with leader, you know?
Yeah.
And.
But he fought like throughout I've this special, this he kind of falls time. Apart emotionally and psychologically. He kind of has a meltdown.
Oh my God! I gotta watch this. Yeah, this is on Netflix.
Do Transform?
No, it's just on YouTube. It's on YouTube.
It's a little more parental.
YouTube. Now that
don't
I
watch the end. No, the but anyways, no Netflix and all those people said, "You're a funny guy, but it feels like you're making fun of comedy."
You're making really? Fun of comedy
Which
now.
You can't. Doesn't make sense.
You got to be careful of that because
you can't make fun
comedy's
of comedy.
Sacred, you know. So
we don't want you making fun of comedy. Yeah. Comedy is a serious, serious yeah. thing.
It is serious.
Children could die.
Yeah.
That but is you'll amazing. Love it. I will love it. I already love it just with that one joke. But, yeah. you know, it's so sad.
Get
that
my face off the screen, please. I can't take it.
You just don't like the screen.
No. That's what it
is. The thing that is amazing is that kind of commitment
yeah.
to a character or to a vibe that you want to create. And I love everybody that works with me knows I love, it's always somebody around me that says it's enough already, Howie, that you got to break that tension.
Right.
And because I'm locked into network TV and whatever else I'm doing, I have to do it like behind the scenes. And it's always my, that's why I live, you guys are like a dream. And I really, as much as I didn't know who you were, I love, no.
I mean, they're easy to like right away, yeah. right?
No, but yeah. not, but now that I realize you are the guys behind that work and those cuts and what you're doing, you're fucking brilliant. You're like conductors. Of comedy, of great comedy. You really,
well, I'm the conductor. They're the oboe players or whatever.
No, you're like the musician.
Yeah.
You're like playing it. And
I'm
then
the soloist mm-hmm. up front.
We're the composers.
No, wait a minute now.
We're composing.
Easy.
But it is truly amazing. And it is an amazing art form that people don't give enough credit. And when something looks silly or looks off,
yeah,
I think too much of our world says that's just silly or it's off and right. don't realize what kind of work, effort, time, and thought goes into being silly and off.
I think it might also be because of our culture just in America, because I know that people in different countries have different tastes in comedy. Like mm-hmm. The Office in England, right, in the UK was very different comedy than The Office here yes, in yes, the yes. US. So I think...
British comedy, British likes, Europe is
awkward.
Much more, I love awkward and I yeah. love that. And we have always, you talk about those sitcoms now,
yeah.
you know, they had to have moral comeuppance.
Yeah.
If somebody does something bad, then they got to win at the or lose at right. the end. And that's not that, that takes away from comedy.
Right.
You know, and it's,
I also think that this is maybe going down the wrong road, but I realized how, like, in the 80s, we grew up with a lot of kind of like right, and I'm saying like necessarily political, but I guess maybe political, kind of a right wing perspective on the world, like Police Academy.
Right.
I think Bill Murray and those kind of movies have this, not, it's hard to put a finger on, but it's assholes who are rewarded for being assholes. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm.
If right. you think about so some what, of those so what movies, does that do?
It kind of emboldens a ideology, I think, maybe. I haven't fully
the
thought
Reagan,
this out. Yeah,
80s,
just sort of like you should be like you can succeed if you're a jerk. Kind of a
but it's a different
like a bully.
Like Peter Pan. I told you this.
What's the Peter Pan?
Peter Pan was rewarded and he was looked at as the hero, but really he's the one that was kidnapping kids and Hook was trying to stop him.
Oh, that's a good point.
Right? So Hook was actually
point.
The
what
hero.
What does it have to do with this conversation?
I'm just saying we're rewarding. Yeah.
Are we talking about the 80s?
The asshole, and Peter Pan is the asshole who is stealing kids.
It's interesting. That's all I'll say.
Good point. That's a good point. Thank we'll you. Edit that into Thank another you. Podcast. Because we're talking about comedy. But the truth
no,
I get what you're saying.
No, but it is the same thing. It's how people view whatever it is they're watching and listening to and how that kind of affects our life.
Right.
But the truth is, at the same time, it is comedy is very myopic in the sense that who's ever watching it and whoever that audience is, you know, it's not the same kind of audience that will like the Bill Murray movie
right.
that might like I'm trying to think of at the time, there's different kinds of comedy. There's a lot of different, you know, within our own community, in the comedy community, we are the harshest critics of each other.
Yes.
I was always disrespected and made fun of.
I'm sure.
Always. And that's because at the beginning when I started like that and I was doing prop comics, I talked to Scott Carrot Top all the time.
Yeah.
Carrot Top has to create whatever it is and
sure,
whether you
right.
like
oh,
it.
Yeah.
I think he's a brilliant guy. Yeah. He is building props,
yeah,
writing lines
creative.
That come to, and not only that, it's successful.
Yeah.
He fills, he's been in at the Luxor, he's got his own room for 10 years. There's a lot of lesser comics that put him down.
Right.
He has the ability
it's an easy punchline.
Does he does, how does he feel about it? Does
horrible.
He like, he feels terrible about
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Okay. And I did too for years. Yeah. I was the punchline on Letterman's top 10. And, you know, the 10th
right.
thing, and yeah. we'll make him sit through a Howie Mandel concert.
Right.
You know, but within, as opposed to somebody who was just a brilliant monologist who talked about political things or things that were happening in the paper, you know, those people were kind of
the
lauded
truth.
The truth.
Getting right. the
and
truth.
Then
right.
if you're doing things that are silly and off, then you're...
Oh, even, we get low class. I mean...
But that's the
we
point.
We have this dichotomy where we often get talked about in very highbrow terms because of our art, the kind of the art, artistic side of our work, but also are just derided for being nothing but poop jokes and brown and, you know, like just low class, weird for the sake of weird by all kinds of people. And then in the middle ground is sort of the serious comedians who don't think what we do is funny.
I think what you do is beyond funny. I think what you do is beyond, and maybe coming from me, it doesn't mean anything in the world, but I really truly believe that you have a higher level of comedy and you build a world. Not only there's a world,
language
a patina
to
whatever that Tim and Eric world was.
Yeah.
And even, and that is even more than sounding like the guy who has always made it onto the Tonight Show talking about, you know, commercials and
right.
things like that, or waiting for, or
how to reset the microwave timer.
Right.
And God bless that stuff too. I don't, I mean, I like it
I'm
all.
I'm not knocking that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just saying that that was held in esteem where I think that doing that is kind of easier than what you do and what you do as a group and what you need to do in concert together. You know, you have to be in front of the camera. You guys have to cut what you see. You have to take things that already exist on another level and then recut it and make it mean something totally different just by editing. So I am such a huge fan of everything you do. I wanted to have you here today because I'm begging to work with you in any capacity. Oh, wow. All three of you.
That's a dream come true.
No, yeah, I mean, a dream come true. I've been around for 40 fucking years.
You tired of people like, complimenting Little Monsters? Because that's like huge for me. I don't know.
Oh, thank you.
It's huge. And my kids.
So. Thank you.
But he wants to look forward. He doesn't want to look back.
I know.
But Howie doesn't want to look.
But feel, I have a little facility here. If you ever want to come and do stuff that I'm not in.
Why don't we pitch Normal Sized Monsters? That'll be the sequel. Normal Sized Monsters.
I love that.
Whatever that is, we'll figure it out.
But we got to work together. And I would come to Glendale anytime and do your show.
Thanks, Howie. It does mean a lot. I mean, we met a few years ago and it was just very strange. There's always strange things when
Where was that, Tim?
At Abso, you rang us up out of nowhere.
Because I'm a fan.
We have those experiences where it's very surreal because, again, not to age everybody, but we grew up with you and respect you.
No, you could say that.
In your career. And just
I wanted to do a show. I was trying to do a show. Yeah, it was kind of fitting in the same thing. It's still a good idea. You guys were doing, my mind is going blank now. What do you call the company where you do all the products?
Cinco.
Yeah. So they had done all the Cinco products. If you're a fan, mm-hmm. you got to look up that stuff. It's just great. And then I wanted to do a show, a network show, where we take these really funny, bad, obscure infomercials for not only Cinco, for shows that you were doing for the Christmas special and for all that, and sit them down in front of a real, what do they call them, test audience? Yeah,
focus group.
Oh, yeah. Focus groups. Yeah. and see if you guys would head it up, but we'd have groups of comedians make new, because there's only so much Cinco, bad products, bad shows, bad ideas, and see who can convince a real group of people to buy on and hear their comments about that.
It would be a challenge to find that, to find the balance of like making it just believable enough where you're not, people aren't going, I'm out of here. But
even if one person in that room goes, I'm fucking out of here.
Yeah.
That's also good. But to see these, what are you putting up? Oh, the Cinco phone? That's Ed. I love Ed. You were working with everybody I know.
I know.
The new Cinco phone from Cinco Mobile. The great thing about the Cinco phone, it has one button and one only. Let's say I want to call my mom. Press it on, open both the antennas for better reception. And the number, 555.
I did edit it. Hydraulic.
5. Oh, 1, then 9.
This is some classic comedy. What's a bad and idea 9. For a phone?
And then,
it's like, what?
And the best feature of the Cinco phone, you cannot receive calls with it. You can only make
too many
calls.
Jokes.
You'll never be bothered again ideas. At work. Your leisure time.
All right,
the golf
course. Cut it. Cut it now. So, but it would be funny to, like you did with All Dolled Up, mm-hmm. to watch real people, even if they hate it, have a real discussion.
I can't. I don't know, a phone that doesn't receive. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, no idea is ever fully dead, right? Until
hopefully somebody at some network hears this or Netflix and they want to do it. I just think that there is, you know, we're always being sold shit. And that's what life is. And
there's a whole Reddit page called, I think, Not Tim and Eric. It's called Reddit.com/NotTimAndEric. And it's things that exist in life that could have easily been on our show, right? So life, you know, life is shit. That's sort of our motto.
Well, it is. I've
seen surrounded it. By it.
They it's sold. I saw an infomercial too. For there's a golf club that you can piss in.
Right.
You've seen that.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
If you're out on the the links, and
you
know,
right here.
You
pull that's off a great invention.
That is really smart.
Right. Well, that's. I was trying to find something that seemed ridiculous.
Not if you have a macro penis like myself. It's.
It's hard to get it.
Why do you have to wait for a network?
Extremely thick.
Where are we going to do it?
He posted his stand-up on YouTube. Why?
It's basically the same length.
Same length.
Describing
and
my penis. It's this long.
The tapping you hear is Tim
bowling ball.
Showing them his
Imagine
penis.
Imagine a bowling ball that you can pee in. It would
Imagine
work.
If this is the size.
There's three holes in a bowling ball. There's more pee. That would be good. It shouldn't just be for golf. One of them could be a poop shoot.
There you
so
go.
You can piss and shit.
Hollow ball for your shit.
I like that the shit. What was the shit thing where you can go
in the
urinal?
Poop tube. It comes out.
Oh,
my dad said I can use the poop tube.
That was amazing. Right. Anyway, and you guys have been great. What should we plug? Tim, you're on tour?
No. I'm doing a show in New York, actually, in two shows in New York in April. At the Bowery Ballroom, and the if you go to timheidecker.com,
whatever his dates are,
and then office hours every Thursday. We have our 200th show coming up We have a lot. Yeah, it's just it's a blast every week to get together with these guys and basically do this
in your garage.
But you in my garage, yeah. Different microphone.
A little noisier.
How far do you guys live from his garage?
Enough to get there on time. So that's it's like I leave early enough.
Do you want to plug anything individually?
Oh, sure. I'm opening for Tenacious D in September. Tenaciousd.com. Check that out.
I'm a comedian too.
I perform. DJ Doug Pound. I'm a DJ comedian.
I love that.
And people hate me because I have my, they say, oh, I didn't bring my sound machine with me. That's what some guy said the other day when I opened for, he came after me. He was bombing. So he was like,
because you lean on a prop. He leans on a
prop. I get jokes are so good right. during that. It's high intensity.
Anyway, I'm opening for them and Office Hours Live. YouTube.com/Tim Heidecker.
No, but don't you have your own website where they can see your dates where you're performing? No.
Where are you on Twitter?
Check me out at Instagram, Doug Pound with 2 G's. I put a lot of funny stuff on there, hopefully.
Let them be the judge of that.
Yeah.
I post a lot of stuff.
I wish I didn't say that. I put a lot of stuff there that I hope people think is.
You want to see me, hysterical stuff that I.
And you? And then I don't really perform live unless Mr. Heidecker and Doug take me out, but. I do a lot of stuff behind the scenes.
So you're plugging behind the scenes.
Behind the scenes, no, but like filling the void.
Have your own YouTube channel.
My own YouTube channel, Vice News, Filling the Void. I'm working with this guy named Ben Craw. Really proud of these videos. They're like half hour long.
They're great. They're very funny, but also kind of educational.
Yeah, like I think you dig them.
So
yeah.
Do you work for Vice?
Right now, I'm working for Vice News, but actually, I'm working for the Eric Andre Show. Doug is too, which you've been on, I know.
Yeah. So, I love Eric.
So that's week three of it, so it's a little chaotic.
Yeah,
that's why you couldn't get here.
that's what it was. It
took us an hour to get an excuse.
We're both editing on that show.
Yeah.
Okay. Right, fun. You edit at home or you edit in an office?
Doing it at home right now, just remotely.
All right. Well, you guys are great.
Way to end on a very low note.
Put it down.
You guys are much more creative than I am.
And we should shout out Staples for your set. Staples Office Supplies.
Yeah.
For the desk and.
I don't know. I am the spokesperson. Doesn't look like a lot of Staples stuff.
No, it is. I'm a spokesperson for Staples in Canada.
Really?
Really?
I am.
Really?
Oh, I thought that's why you were saying that.
I don't know. I went for. Actually, now that I'm looking at the desk, is more. Where is this desk from? Where do you get a desk like this?
From the other room.
Was it given to you?
Yeah. Everything's from free. I have not bought anything.
It's amazing. I wish I had this space. We're going to talk. We're going to partner up on this space, I think.
I hope so.
We got to get him on office hours.
We're going to make it all happen. Yeah. Not right now.
Not right now.
I mean, we're going to follow up. We don't have to. All the time, we do these things, and everybody's like, we can follow up. Yeah, nothing has to be decided.
Got to do it live.
That's
now.
A no.
This
was
a
kick. No.
That's a no for you.
It was ending on a nice note. No, I've said four fucking times I would love to be on the show.
And he's going to be.
Your partner you'd love to come down, and you went, no, let's work it out.
We'll talk later.
I know what that means. Well, fuck it.
It's going to get thorny because he's got a lot of requests and demands.
No, I have nothing.
I'm just kidding.
I could have done it. But Tim didn't want me on the show.
It's a shame, Tim.
Bragging about.
Well, we're just going to air this
show.
We're going to air this on our show.
This is it. Yeah.
Oh, this is your show.
This is it. Yeah. It's a cross podcast.
You're our guest on this one.
Thanks for watching Office Hours.
I do have a lot of questions for you.
You know, it's weird
to save it for this.
No, there's nothing to say. And you realize that, and you feel free to get up at any time. The show is this podcast. You don't have to hit it yet, Kyle. But this podcast is over. It's been over for.
Doing it
20
anymore?
Minutes?
What?
What do you mean? You're not doing it anymore or this particular episode?
We're not going to make any decisions here. We're going to talk about after this show whether there will be any further episodes.
Really?
Yes. And this is after the show. This is the only reason that it seems like it's still going is because Kyle hasn't played the theme music yet. And don't, Kyle.
But this is you're winding things down as a podcast? Is that what you're saying? Or just
this
episode?
So we're on the series finale?
Is this for real?
The series finale.
Wow.
Cliffhanger.
We could talk about it.
This is a cliffhanger.
Do you not enjoy doing it?
I did up until today.
Until these people... these tardy guests showing up.
Bye, Tim. Hit it, Kyle.
Um.
and I'm being serious. Anything you want to do, anything you want to use, no charge. Anything, if you need a green screen, come here and shoot. Do
That's
something.
Amazing. That's amazing.
So good
Cut
to know.
Something.
Small check.